Greetings, listeners and friends of RAOTC. This is VK3OTN, the station of the Radio Amateurs Old Timers Club of Australia, saying welcome to this broadcast
for July 2019. I am Bruce, VK3UV.
You know by now that this broadcast is carried on a range of frequencies each first Monday morning of the month, except for January.
However, please don't forget the repeat transmission at night on 80 metres at 8:30pm local Melbourne time, and in Tasmania at 7:30pm via the Northern and Southern networks, and at 8:30pm by a video streaming from Tony, VK7AX.
These details can all be found on our webpage, www.raotc.org.au, and we again thank all our volunteers who relay this program at the various times.
This broadcast file will be uploaded to our website, www.raotc.org.au, on Sunday, the day prior to our normal monthly broadcast.
Club News.
We start our club news this month with something a little bit different. We're going back in time, back to December 2003, and here is Bill Roper, the current editor of OTN, talking a little bit about the issues which were prominent then, and they are the same as today, only the dates are different. Here's Bill Roper, VK3BR.
RAOTC Membership. Membership of the RAOTC is currently 449. We seem to have been hovering around the 450 members for quite some time, but it is interesting to note that of the 449 members, only 28 are associate members.
I'm going to make just a little interruption there. In March 2019, our membership had increased to just a little bit over 480. Now back to Bill.
When you consider that associate members, that is, those who have been radio amateurs for as little as 10 years, as against 25 years for full members, have exactly the same benefits and privileges of membership as the full members, except for the ability to vote at general meetings, you wonder why there are not a lot more associate members. Perhaps there are many radio amateurs who do qualify for associate membership, but who do not know that such a membership of the RAOTC is available to them. I am sure that there are many such people who are interested in maintaining the interest and spirit of amateur radio, in honouring the history and heritage of our hobby, and who would welcome the encouragement of good fellowship from being a member of the RAOTC. How about recruiting these radio amateurs to associate membership of the RAOTC and let them know that the Radio Amateurs Old Timers Club is not a bunch of old fogies, but a group of experienced, dedicated and enthusiastic radio amateurs, regardless of age. As you know, membership application forms are available from the RAOTC webpage at www.raotc.org.au, or by dropping an email request to raotc@raotc.org.au, or by a mail request to the RAOTC at
PO Box 107, Mentone, Victoria 3194.
OTN Magazine. The next issue of the RAOTC magazine, Old Timers News, or OTN, will be published in
September 2019.
We have quite a lot of material ready for publication, but we do need more. OTN can only be as good as you, the members, make it. When was the last time you submitted an opinion, a letter, a photograph, or an article to OTN? Of particular interest is an account of your experiences as a radio amateur, whether they occurred 80 years ago or as recently as last month. Your contribution can be as short as 100 words or as long as several thousand words. We all enjoy reading and hearing about other radio amateurs' experiences. Your contribution could be technical, an account of how you first became involved with radio, an unusual radio experience, a humorous incident, a cartoon, or your opinion on a radio matter, past or present. Also, we are always interested in reprinting suitable historical articles from the past. If you have read one that you think would be of interest to your fellow old-timers, send a copy along to OTN. Your contribution to your magazine can be submitted in a number of ways. The preferred way is by email to the RAOTC email address, which is raotc@raotc.org.au. However, hard copy sent to the Secretary of the RAOTC at
P.O. Box 107, Mentone, Victoria 3194
is perfectly okay. We prefer manuscripts to be typed, but naturally handwritten submissions will be accepted, provided we can read your writing. However, if you are unable to listen to the RAOTC monthly broadcasts for whatever reason, don't forget that you can listen to them any time by connecting to the RAOTC webpage at www.raotc.org.au.
That was Bill Roper, VK3BR, talking on our broadcast of December 2003. And the issues, of course, back then are the same as what they are today, except a couple of dates had to be updated, as you would have noticed. Thank you to Bill. We now have the current club news, which consists of the advice of three new members and one silent key. Mark Bosmer, VK2KI, who also holds the call sign VK6QI, became new RAOTC full member number 1767 on the 7th of June 2019. And Rob Bosmer, VK6SB, who became new RAOTC full member number 1768 on the same date, the 7th of June 2019. And we also have Kevin Green, VK2KTG, previous call sign VK3XWG, became new RAOTC full member number 1769 on the 15th of June 2019. Now it is our sad duty to advise that George Hodgson, ex-VK2OH, RAOTC life member number 544, became a silent key on the 6th of June 2019. We pause now for a few moments in memory of our departed colleague. Thank you. Last month I ran an item on digital modes, but I inadvertently omitted an important section in relation to FT8. I mentioned that you could leave your computer on overnight and next morning discover that you had worked 50 stations. As far as FT8 is concerned, that is totally incorrect. The reference should have been WSPR or Whisper. Many thanks to those members who contacted me with the correct information. I now stand totally corrected and suitably admonished. That item will be published in a future edition of OTN magazine, and of course will contain the correct information. This is VK3OTN, the station of the Radio Amateurs Old Timers Club of Australia. We are indeed fortunate to have some pre-recorded items from both Ian, VK3JS, and Clive, VK6CSW. For our first item this month, I have selected an archived item which was presented by Clive, VK6CSW, and Ian, VK3JS, in April 2003, and it was entitled What Does the Future Hold and the Square Kilometre Array?
Where to in the future? The Radio Amateurs Old Timers Club of Australia is unique. It encompasses the whole of Australia, not just a local area. Membership requires some years of experience as an amateur, 10 years for associate membership, and 25 for a full member. Our journal, OTN, probably the best club magazine in Australia, emphasises the historical perspective of radio and electronics. Nevertheless, let's remember that all of the radio knowledge gained since the commencement of the activity and learnt by us to pass an examination for a licence is just a step along a much longer and broader pathway. Our techniques are leading on to bigger and more diverse areas of electronics, to the point where it's now almost impossible for one person to know the entire scope of a program or project. Specialization is becoming the norm, so, like modular furniture, separate pieces are put together to form the whole. What does the future hold? Who knows? But here's an example that has grown directly from hard-won knowledge of antenna systems and is being applied to the expanding world of science and astronomy. It's called the Square Kilometer Array. The Square Kilometer Array, or SKA Radio Telescope Project, is so named because in total, it's hundreds of thousands of radio antennas located in various parts of the Southern Hemisphere, but principally in South Africa and Australia, will have a total collecting area of 1 square kilometer, or 1,000,000 square meters. It will operate over a wide frequency range, and its enormous size and signal receiving sensitivity will enable it to create images whose definition will be some 50 times greater than that of the Hubble Space Telescope. With a range of other large optical and infrared telescopes being built and launched into space over the coming decades, the SKA will perfectly augment, complement, and lead the way in scientific discovery. The SKA is a joint venture being undertaken by many countries and is one of the largest single scientific endeavours ever attempted. Its headquarters are at the famous Jodrell Bank Observatory in the United Kingdom. Much preliminary research into suitable engineering and radio techniques has already been done, and funding for Phase 1, costing some 650 million euros, has been agreed to. Phase 1, due to start in 2018, will involve testing the full system in a proof-of-concept manner, with the first astronomical sightings planned for 2020. Phase 2, as yet unfunded, but estimated to cost a further 1.4 billion euros, has a planned completion date of around 2025. The SKA project has 5 key scientific goals, each of which will redefine our understanding of space. These are: 1. Challenging the validity of Einstein's seminal theory of relativity. 2. Looking at how the very first stars and galaxies formed after the Big Bang. 3. Trying to understand the mysterious force known as dark energy. 4. Understanding the vast magnetic fields which permeate the cosmos. And 5. Are we really alone in the universe? For SKA Phase 1, Australia will host the low-frequency telescopes covering from 50 to 350 megahertz, with more than 900 stations, each station containing around 300 individual dipole antennas, a total of almost 270,000 aerials, as well as a 96-dish SKA-1 survey telescope, incorporating the 36-dish Australian SKA Pathfinder Array, while South Africa will host an array of 254 dishes, incorporating the 64-dish Meerkat Precursor Telescope. Phase 2 will complete the radio telescope arrays at both sites and become fully operational in the mid-2020s, by which time several thousand high-frequency and mid-frequency telescopes and aperture arrays will augment the millions of low-frequency antennas. The Murchison Radio Astronomy Observatory, located some 300 kilometres northeast of Geraldton in Western Australia, is the home of the Australian SKA Pathfinder and the Murchison Wide Field Array. It will shortly also be the home of a significant part of the Square Kilometre Array. This remote region is roughly the size of the Netherlands, but home to only about 140 residents, and will be protected by law from any activities that might cause interference to the radio telescopes. The SKA will employ three main types of radio telescope. Low-frequency arrays, located in Australia, will cover 50 to 350 MHz using simple dipoles in a phased array system. Each station, of which Australia has 900, will be 100 metres in diameter and contain 90 elements, giving, as mentioned earlier, a total of about 270,000 antennas. Mid-frequency telescopes, covering 350 MHz to 14 GHz, will be dish-type antennas located in South Africa and will number 254, including the 64-dish Meerkat precursor telescope. The third type of antenna is a compact array of parabolic dishes known as the SKA mid-array and will be used for general survey work. Each dish will be 12 to 15 metres in diameter and will work in the mid-frequency range of 350 MHz to 4 GHz and will have a multi-beam phased array feed with a huge field of view. Although the core antenna systems will be located in Western Australia and South Africa at sites with very low electrical noise levels, supplementary systems will be located further afield, such as New Zealand, to further enhance image resolution, the whole forming a single giant radio telescope of extremely high sensitivity and angular resolution. Not only will the telescope be able to survey the skies some 10,000 times faster than is possible now, but it will have a sensitivity equivalent to detecting a standard airport radar at a distance equal to 50 light years. Enormous computing power will be required to handle and collate all the information generated by each of the system's elements. World-leading scientists and engineers are designing and developing a system which will require supercomputers faster than any currently in existence, plus long-haul links having handling capacity greater than the entire traffic carried on today's internet network. There is, of course, much, much more to the Square Kilometre Array story. The foregoing largely non-technical article barely scratches the surface. If you'd like more information, please visit the SKA official website at www.skatelescope.org. That's www.skatelescope, all one word, .org. Now, here's Ian, VK3JS, with an editorial comment.
Perhaps all this does not mean much to you at first hearing, but no doubt you will realise that it is an idea and construction on a vast scale, driven by man's desire to know the past as well as the universe out there. Technologically, it may all be outside our experiences as radio amateurs of the 19th, 20th and 21st centuries. However, when you think of it all in simple, basic terms, it is all built on much that was discovered by amateur operators, for example, circuits use resistors, capacitors and transistors and voltages. Antennas use selective feeding techniques, waveguides and coaxial cables. Where the amateur is left out is in the development of a computerized handling and programming, unless someone licensed today works in that field. Even so, he is more likely to work in a portion of a field rather than understand the entire concept. Be proud that amateurs have contributed in the past and, in their small but important areas, will do so in the future. As Clive mentioned, if you would like to follow this project on the internet, then have a look at www.skatelescope.org. Amateur radio is not dead. It has evolved into something much more sophisticated in comparison to what we are used to.
This is VK3OTN, the station of the Radio Amateurs Old Timers Club of Australia.
Here's an article which appeared in the magazine called The Conversation about the middle of the year, and to which I think many people, perhaps young and old these days, may react favourably. It's entitled, How Landline Phones Made Us Happy and Connected. Smartphones and the internet have revolutionised society, commerce and politics, reshaping how we work and play and how our brains are wired. For enthusiasts, these technologies enhance freedom and democratize the flow of information, putting more power in the hands of people to generate political change. In the aftermath of the Parkland shooting, high school students have used social media to provoke a public debate about guns in the United States. However, detractors counter that social media and the internet foster slacktivism, weak, low-effort commitments that had little or more than make us feel better. It's difficult to evaluate today's communication technologies unless we understand how people communicated in the past. My own research looks back at how political activists used the phone in the years before the mobile phone revolution, using the records of activist groups and interviews to find out how phone talk shaped what they did and how well they did it. The results highlight how important phone calls were in fostering a sense of community, intimacy and connection. This suggests that we have lost as much as we have gained with our high-tech gizmos. Before Facebook, the internet and mobile phones, political movements used traditional technologies to recruit like-minded people, raise money, organize events, and advocate for change. Activist groups called people on the phone, as well as printing, mailing, and, by the late 1980s, faxing information. In the second half of the 20th century, the phone was essential to political activism, and it helped to create lasting movements in which people felt emotionally bonded. The phone was crucial for sharing information quickly. In the US in the 1950s and 60s, when most Americans had telephones, the civil rights movement relied heavily on the telephone. Thousands of participants in the Montgomery bus boycott of the mid-1950s, for example, found ride shares by using phone trees. Phone trees are still in use today. They are based on lists of people who call other people. 10 people each call 10 people, who then each call 10 people. Before email, the phone tree was one of the quickest and most efficient ways to disseminate information. A well-organized tree could quickly trigger thousands of phone calls to elected officials or turn thousands of people out for demonstrations. In 1961, Wide Area Telephone Service, WATS, lines were introduced, allowing unlimited long-distance calls for a fixed fee. They saved the lives of some activists by giving grassroots workers who could not afford expensive long-distance calls a way to call headquarters to report dangerous situations. By the mid-1980s, 1-800 calling cards had become common. Activists could call anyone from any phone while leaving the charges to be paid by headquarters. The number of calls made by activist groups exploded. As new movements for environmental protection, nuclear disarmament, feminism, Native American rights, gay rights, and conservative causes such as school prayer gathered steam in the 1970s and 1980s, the landline phone remained central. In 1986, Americans placed 1.97 billion calls a day, 8 calls for every woman, man, and child. They were having about 7 times as many telephone conversations as they had in 1950, and the number was still rising. One human rights staffer told me of his work in the mid-1980s. Those calls were about much more than sharing information. Calling on a landline phone was a labour-intensive form of communication, but it provided immediate personal contact, an opportunity for genuine exchange, and an emotional depth that written communications lacked. The voice is one of our most powerful instruments, designed not only to communicate, but also to build intimacy. Our voices convey emotion so effectively that we can identify emotions in speech even when the words themselves are muffled by walls. The voice indicates whether you are sincere or whether you are drunk. The powers of the human voice help to explain why talking on the phone can foster feelings of concentration. Research on the telephone in the 1980s showed that a call made people feel wanted, needed, included, and involved. That is why a recent Harvard Business Review study found that face-to-face requests were 34 times more successful than emails. Critics of digital media say that it corrodes human relationships. The generation that has grown up on smartphones, which have become devices for avoiding talk, lack empathy and struggle to form friendships based on trust, according to one study. In online communities, people tend toward narcissism and often dramatically fail to care about the feelings of others. Wael Ghonim, an Egyptian whose anonymous Facebook page in 2011 helped topple a dictatorship, concluded that social media facilitated, quote, the spread of misinformation, rumours, echo chambers, and hate speech. The environment was purely toxic, end of quote. Empathy vanished, he says. Landline calls helped to instill positive emotions and feelings of connection, pride, gratitude, a sense of elevation and happiness. Psychologists tell us that whether we are extroverts or introverts, we need human contact and feel more alive after connecting with such people. Phone calls created those connections. They made people more optimistic. The landline phone, of course, was not a flawless medium. Static, missed calls, busy signals, dropped connections, prank calls, and phone threats guaranteed frustration. You can bond over the phone, but you can also argue. But the rise of smartphones, which people check umpteen times a day, has not meant that we communicate better. More communication can mean that we hear each other less. Among American millennials, the number of voice calls they make is falling as texting soars, and that means we may be losing a powerful part of what connects us to each other.
This is VK3OTN, the station of the Radio Amateurs Old Timers Club of Australia. Well, we've come to the end of this month's session. And of course, here is our joke for this month. I'm getting a little bit short of jokes, so if you come across anything you think may be suitable for us to use here, please send them to me. VK3UV at wia.org.au. Anyway, here's this month's effort. An elderly patient gets hearing aids from a doctor. After a short time, he meets the doctor again. Doctor, your hearing is perfect. Your family must be really pleased. Patient, oh, I am in a funny situation now. I haven't told my family yet. I just sit and listen to their conversations. In a month, I've changed my will 3 times. Thank you for listening. This now concludes our session for this month, and we shall be back with you on Monday, the 5th of August, 2019. Until then, keep well and smiling. This is VK3OTN, the station of the Radio Amateurs Old Timers Club of Australia, saying 73 and listing now for any check-ins and callbacks.